Yisro, right to me in the parsha. Yishma Yisro Chohein Midyan, sorry, Chosein Moshe, Ish Kol Asher Asa Elkim LaMoshe L'Yisrael Amo, Yotzi Hashem Es Yisro Mimitzrayim. So the parsha starts off with Yisro coming to the Jewish people and joining them. Now, just as an aside, because we're learning about Azara, in the second parak, maybe some of you guys saw this, yeah, with Rav Goodman, so it describes a machlokas, different opinions of Chazal, when the story of Yisro happened. Did it happen before Matan Torah, as we have it in the sequence, Parshas Yisro, or did it happen much later? Did Yisro show up on the scene after Torah was already given? Okay? So Tosafot asks Akasha. Let's say it happened after Matan Torah. Okay, so I understand, like, not everything in the Torah, Emukta Mukam Torah, not everything's in order, but you still have to explain why Hashem decided, when he was writing the Torah, to put the story of Yisro before now, or at this point, before he actually came, before Matan Torah, what was the message you're trying to get across? That's kasha number one, okay? If it's out of order, why is it out of order? What's significant about it being right here, after Parshas B'Shalach, before Parshas Mishpatim? Kasha number one. Kasha number two, but Yishma Yisro Choyin Midyan. Yisro heard something, right? He heard about everything that Hashem did for the Jewish people and for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, I'm in. I want to be there as well. What do you hear? If someone would tell you there was a mind-blowing miracle that occurred, and that's what inspired Yisro to join the Jewish people, so look what Rashi says. Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mochemes Amalek. Two things that inspired him to join the Jewish people. Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek. If you were talking about the most unbelievable miracle or miracles, so, okay, you know, Amalek, Seder, like, winning a war could still be a miracle, but, like, still a very mundane, like, almost natural course of events, right? That's not like, wow, blows you away. They fought. They killed. They won. Yom Suf, okay, that was a miracle. But what about, like, everything in Yitzhak Mitzrayim? What about the Esther Makos, right? Which displayed a consistent, protracted, one after another, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrating his mastery over every aspect of nature. Right? That's why the Maharal says we break the makos into tetzach, adash, bachav. What's the significance of those three? Why didn't you make it 5 and 5? Why didn't you make it 3 groups of 3, 3, and 4? So it explains how each group represents a different aspect, a different sphere of nature. There was the water, there was the earth, the sky. You know, there were different angles by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated his mastery of everything, of science, of nature, in different ways over the different makos, right? So isn't that a little bit strange? That always bothers me, this Rashi. Why does he highlight Yisro came when he heard Yom Suf? Yisro came when he heard Amalek, but you leave out the 10 plagues. How could that be? Why wasn't that part of his cheshbon? That's also the Kol Asher Asa Elokim L'Moshe. I think we can answer both questions with the following answer. Backtrack a second. Give me 5 minutes. We know that we'll say. If you look in the laws of Geirus, Yisro was really the first Geir, right? So it's in the Gemara. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Let me read to you from the Rambam. What's the first question you ask a guy when he comes to the base and he says, "You know what? I want to join the Jewish people." What's the first thing you tell him? Right? I think like give an idea like what the mitzvahs are. See if he can handle them, right? The first question you ask him, the first thing you say to him is, "Mara isa shabbos l'sgar." What made you decide to convert? Don't you know that Jews nowadays are oppressed, we're persecuted? There's anti-Semitism. There's no religious freedom. There are people who hate us. We have a history of being mitzuchafim, mitzurafim, yisurim v'alayim. We suffer. Like, why do you want this? Right? That's the first question you ask him. I told you. I had the schus to be on a Beis Din, and perhaps the most inspiring moments of my life have been when the head of the Beis Din says, "Are you ready to accept that anti-Semitism is now your lot in life?" Right? To say yes to a question like that is unbelievable. Right? No one asked me that question. Right? I think that in some ways that's even more powerful than like, okay, now I have to keep Shabbos. Right? So what's the pshat? Why is that the first thing we ask? Not just about sincerity. Because by doing so, you're buying into the notion that being a Jew is not just serving God. Okay, I have a list of mitzvahs I have to do to serve God. Almost more important than being a Jew qua serving God is being a Jew, and as a result, being a member of Klal Yisrael with the identity of Klal Yisrael. That I'm going to go through everything that they go through.
I'm going to be everything a Jew is. Forget about the mitzvahs for a second. But to be a Jew, to be a member of Klal Yisrael, is a different level of joining the tribe, so to speak. And that's what Yisrael was reacting to. Before I even know what Hashem can do and what he does, Esther Makos, because Baruch Hu rules the world. First, I didn't even know what a Jew is. Sometimes we think our Judaism is defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mitzvos. It's more than that. Judaism is defined by who I am in that big picture. So you know what Yisrael heard about Yom Suf and about a monk? You know what was the common denominator? Yom Suf, how did Yom Suf happen? How did Yom Suf happen? What was the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now I'm splitting the sea? When the Jews jumped in and said, God, we're doing this. We trust that somehow it's going to work out. When the Jews demonstrated, Hashem, even when you're not reaching out to me, I'm reaching out to you. Bitachon, that's a Jew. How did Jews win the war against Amalek? Moshe Rabbeinu stood on top of the mountain, and what determined whether they were winning the war or losing the war? When they were looking up to Shemayim and they had Amunah and they said, Hashem, you are making this happen. Forget mitzvahs for a second. What's my identity as a Jew? When Yisrael said the identity of a Jew is complete faith and trust in Hashem, then he knew who I am, what the expectations are as an individual, what it means to join Klal Yisrael. Then he said, I can join. That's why, maybe the answer to Tosa's question, the story of Yisrael is here after B'Shalach. What two events happened, Dafkin B'Shalach? The Makos happened, Shmos Va'irin Bo. Yam Suf was B'Shalach, Amalek was the last thing right before this episode. Because what inspired Yisrael before everything else was, what does it take to be a Jew? If I know what it takes to be a Jew, I can start to think about Geiris. Even before you talk about mitzvos. And that's the halacha, that's how you interview a guy. So just on so many levels, there's more things to talk about. But the core, the yisod of this vort is that sometimes we don't think about what being a Jew means for our own, again, not mitzvos, but our mentality, the way we conduct ourselves, our identity, and how that fits into the rest of our life. Get one brief story. Try to illustrate this. Maybe I've told this before. It's been a while. Late one night, I was in the kosher Dunkin' Donuts in Chicago, in Devon. And my wife wanted me to get a mocha, whatever, iced coffee with the chocolate syrup in it, right? So I went to check if it was milchix or if it was parf, if the syrup was milchix. So I said to the Indian lady behind the counter, I explained to her, not bar not, meat, dairy, I said, is it okay if I, can I take a look at the label of this? Obviously, I was not the first from Jew to come in and start poking around behind the counter. It's kosher. It says it's kosher. It says on the sign it's kosher. Don't, she was not happy about my question. So I backed off a little bit. I said, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to see if it was dairy. I really didn't mean to, okay, I'll just go for an iced tea or something like that. So then she composed herself. And she said, no, I'm sorry, it's okay. I'll give you the container, you can look at the label. You people are holy. People are holy. You wash your hands. You're pure before you take a bite. Every single person who walks into this kosher Dunkin' Donuts, they wash their hands before they have their bread. This Dunkin' Donuts, for the guys from Chicago, it's directly opposite the biggest minion factory in the Midwest. So there's that, it's like almost all Jews the whole day. Passover comes. Not a single Jew walks into the store for 8 straight days. You guys are committed. You're loyal. You follow down to the, you are holy people. I said to myself, when was the last time when I was washing my hands for a bagel, I said, I am a holy person. I am a holy, we are a holy people. Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu antil sedayim. The Gemara Darshins, the source of the Gidashim v'yisim v'skadishna. You're going to be holy. They notice it and we don't. Other people, sometimes we need the guy to remind us. We're holy. Chap this point from Yisro. Yisro chap that because he was on the sidelines. He saw it from the outside. There's something special about Klal Yisro. We need to remember what's special about us. Not just doing stuff. That's not what Yiddishkeit is. It starts with appreciating how special we are in character and identity, our relationship with Hashem, and being a Yid like that. That's what we take from Yisro. Stop the mitzvah, guys.